Hey there, my name's Jared Holt, and welcome to Shitpost. This is a podcast at the intersection of tech, politics, and culture. Every other Monday, I bring on someone who I think is doing interesting work or has an interesting perspective. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on the player of your choice and check out the newsletter on Substack. There's a link to that in the description. Hey, listeners, welcome to Shitpost this week. I'm your host, Jared Holt. I'm here with Ernie Piper and Nick Bakovic. They're from Logically AI, and let me tell you, what a time to record this episode. As we're taping right now, it has officially come down that the Supreme Court is rolling back Roe v. Wade. Awful. But hopefully this episode is a little bit of a break from what I'm sure is just an infinite cycle of doom out there on the timelines. Ernie, Nick, how's it going?
Hey, Jared. Nice to meet you. Good to be here.
Good to be here. But what a day, man.
Yeah, what a day. No kidding. So you guys both work at Logically, which is an outlet. There's also like an app, and there's a lot going on there. Tell me a little bit about Logically, just in case listeners haven't heard of it.
There is a lot going on. Logically is a tech intelligence company that fights online harm and misinformation using a multifaceted approach, meaning that we're a team of data scientists, engineers, fact checkers, journalists, and OSINT investigators. So the way we monitor a lot of stuff on the internet and try to fight it in many different ways.
Well, one of those ways is open source investigations. And since you guys rolled up on the scene, I have to say I've been really impressed with the work. And I have you guys both here today to talk about one of those investigations. It's not about Roe v. Wade, maybe to listener dismay, but it is about something that I think is important and troubling. So I want to talk about this investigation you did. It involves QAnon influencers, cryptocurrency, and unfortunately, somebody who fell for it taking their own life and others losing, gobs and gobs of cash involved. So, Ernie, maybe you can give us an overview of this investigation.
Yeah, sure. So this was an investigation into two affiliated Telegram chats, which are kind of tied up in the greater extended QAnon universe, Whiplash 347 and Quantum Stellar Initiative. We got a tip about these Telegram channels, basically, that they were promoting all of these different kinds of cryptocurrency assets that a lot of people were saying that they'd been scammed and they'd lost a lot of money as a result, and they wanted somebody to like basically shine a light on what was going on. So we started looking into it, and it's, like many other QAnon chats on Telegram, there's, lots of conspiratorial information being shared about military
everything
stuff.
Yeah.
Nesarik Esra, white hats, a future wealth transfer facilitated by aliens.
Dead people being alive, obviously.
Dead people being alive is a classic one. I love that one. Yeah. So, but in between that, there was a lot of promotions and forwards from other Telegram channels where they were promoting cryptocurrency assets. So a lot of these assets looked like they were backed by real things, by like real businesses or real banks or real ventures in some way, or gold or silver.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting because as I've looked at sort of the QAnon universe on Telegram, it's become kind of a regular occurrence that different influencers will post a message and be like, this person reaching out to my followers, trying to get you to invest in things or buy coins or memorabilia. This is not me. you know, don't fall for this. And it is a very low bar, but I guess kudos to them for saying something. But it seems scams are amiss here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember looking into these particular channels for the first time about a year ago. And I mean, when you see, like, all right, QAnon and crypto is like a marriage made in hell. And when you look at these influencers dedicating so much time and passion to these, you know, shit coins that nobody's ever heard of, really, like, I would have been more surprised if that this is not a scam. You know, that would have been the real top line here. But at the same time, you don't know the full extent of it. And then proving it is a different story altogether. Like Ernie said, it was, you know, recently that we got a tip about the casualties here. And it's like at some point when we heard that people were, you know, possibly committing suicide as a result of this, like, this is when we decided, okay, this is something that we have to investigate now.
So let's talk about these coins. Nick, you said the term shit coin, which I know what that means, but maybe listeners don't. When we're talking about shit coins, what's a shitcoin? This is Shitpost. We will never sell you coins here, but what is a shitcoin?
So a shitcoin is a cryptocurrency asset that's, you know, not one of the big ones that you've heard of. It's not like Bitcoin or Ethereum or anything like that, or even Dogecoin. It is a coin that is minted just by some guy, some business or somebody that's trying to make an asset look like a really big deal. And then it might have like a meme kind of relationship. It might have a relationship to like a joke. It could be any one of these things, or it could be pretending to be like a real asset. And then you can have whole groups form on Telegram or a Discord or even on Twitter, just trying to get people to buy in to the asset, basically. But it's
doing like a giant pump and dump, right?
Easily. It only has value insofar as a large group of people say that it has value. With something like Doge Token or Sun Gold or God knows what else, where, you know, it's not even being advertised anywhere else, then it's hard to see how it would have value outside of that tiny little group.
Yeah, you mentioned sort of two categories of shitcoin here. One being the, you know, this is kind of a joke, it's not so serious, and the other ones that are pretending to be something more serious. And the impression I got from your investigation was that the coins that these QAnon influencers were pushing kind of fall into that latter camp, right? What were they doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, the way it worked is that on both of the channels, on both Quantum Stellar Initiative and Whiplash 347, the leaders of those channels would start talking about, you know, a certain asset. And they'd say, like, for instance, this is the Sun Gold token. It's backed by this gold mine in Kazakhstan. It's a real gold mine. And then they'd share a news link from Reuters, like, to a gold mine. And then they'd share a link also to a Russian company that, like, is, you know, in charge of that gold mine. But then they'd say, like, this company is now minting a cryptocurrency asset called Sun Gold, and you should all buy it. There is no relationship between the company and the shitcoin. They fabricated the whole thing. And then they kind of bombard their followers with exhortations to buy and also exhortations to just hold on to it.
So this is just a straight up scam.
And it borrows from different types of, you know, past popular scams. I mean, like, you know, just to tie into what Ernie was saying, a lot of these, they would promote these domains that sounded like the real thing. It's just like, you know, a typical kind of phishing sort of strategy. The domain would get created, if you look at it, like, you know, 2 days prior, and all of a sudden, like, it would pop up in the chat, either by one of the, like, admins talking about it, or somebody just in the chat being like, hey, what about this thing? And when you look at it, you know, it's like, you know, it was created 48 hours earlier, that domain. And they're already talking about it. And if you look at the details behind that website, it would only forward to the real website. So, I mean, in layman's terms, it'd be like, you know, if I, you know, started promoting something like McDonald's.com with a Z at the end instead of an S, and just would redirect to the actual McDonald's site to get people to, you know, believe that this is actually somewhat legit. And then once you got the trust of the people, then you sell them something based on that website. Sorry for the poor analogy, but I mean, it does, you know, demonstrate what kind of what they were doing here.
So the QAnon influencers involved, Whiplash 347, you know, Quantum Stellar Initiative, which is, you know, pretty openly run by this woman who goes under the handle, I think it's Patriot Quakes? Cakes? Patriot Cake? Like a Q without a U?
I think it's Cakes, but they substituted the C for a Q because, you know, like they do.
Yeah, like, what are these accounts? What do they matter? What, I mean, I know the Whiplash account has, like, kind of a startling amount of reach. You know, what? Who are these people?
I mean, evidence suggests that the Whiplash account emerged out of, you know, this popular conspiratorial Facebook page and then sort of transitioned into Twitter, got banned on Twitter when all of them got banned on Twitter, and sort of built this audience up on a Telegram afterwards. Now, it's unclear if that individual is still running it, because there are numerous Whiplash accounts here and there. And one, actually, the Quantum Stellar Initiative was promoting, was an account, a Whiplash account, not a channel, is the one where we reached out, that we reached out to. And the person who got back to us, you could tell just by, you know, the level of English that this was not the same person who was running the Whiplash account originally.
And then the Patriot Cakes, you know, she's been around for a while.
Yeah, it seems that. So her name's Emily Tang. She's a graduate of Columbia University in New York. She's run a bunch of businesses. She's had a bunch of like consulting strategy kind of jobs. And this is her most recent venture. And she, you know, is has endorsed some conservative candidates in Texas where she lives. She's been running this under her real name, like on her YouTube channel. She hosts like biweekly live streams talking about how to like meditate your way into a higher consciousness so you can like trade cryptocurrency better.
You know, Ernie, I'm getting the impression that you and Nick just hate the hustle mindset. You know,
I am a hater.
These folks are grinding. This is called grinding, guys.
Yeah. No, I would say I have real beta mindset. I'm not quite up to a sigma yet, unfortunately.
Oh, you'll get there. I trust it.
Thanks.
So we've sort of touched on it already, or rather you two have touched on it already. But, you know, what does the sales pitch look like? I mean, I imagine if you have a following of people who are plugged into things like QAnon, they're already like reading some pretty cryptic shit, you know, getting deep into the whole, you know, JFK is still alive. Elvis is still alive. Like, just fuck it. Who cares? Everyone's alive. So what does a sales pitch to this audience look like? I'm kind of curious.
For starters, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, with QAnon, with the pandemic, you know, one of the unfortunate things that it did, it just created a giant pool of people who might get influenced very easily, making them very ripe for somebody to step in and just defraud them. And Ernie, I don't know if you want to weigh in terms of like, you know, how the pitch goes. Like, I wouldn't say it's cryptic at all. It's just bombarding them with, you know, coins to buy, and then to a point where they just take everything for granted.
Yeah, I think the thing that I would say is that there's widespread distrust in this community already of, like, you know, banks and government and media. And so they start by getting people interested with decoding posts. You know, they'll post like maps of influence between all of these things. And then they'll, you know, alongside that and other sort of conspiratorial news items, they'll include the sales pitch for the coin. And they'll be like, this is for sure the one that's going to get you rich. And I think for a lot of people, cryptocurrency, like, it's a little bit spooky in that, you know, there's like a lot of technical jargon that surrounds it, like how it exactly works is not exactly clear. So there's room for this kind of spookiness and those beliefs to kind of crawl in. And so this, the sort of sideways conspiratorial logic of these news articles gets compared to the sales pitch. And then I do want to emphasize the specific point is that people are being told to buy these assets, buy these shit coins, and then hold them, you know, not sell them. And so they put their money into the system. They put their real money into the system. And then, you know, whoever is running this scam can take all of that money out before they've had a chance to get it back in any way.
Despicable stuff. It's but I guess I can kind of see it. You know, if you think that you're cracking the code and you have obtained access to secret information, maybe, you know, this up and coming coin, that's the latest bit of secret information. But obviously that didn't go to the moon, as they say. What you described as potentially happening does appear like it did happen, that a lot of folks ended up you know, down on their luck, out of their money. I want to talk a little bit about the fallout here, because I think sometimes, I mean, I see it on Twitter all the time with maybe like the hashtag resistance libs or whatever. They'll hear a story about QAnon followers getting scammed out of their money, whether it's like the Iraqi dinar stuff or something like this. They kind of point at it, laugh at it, ha ha ha, serves them right. But I really, at least personally, reserve all my angst for the people who, you know, exploit these folks. So I want to kind of spend a minute hearing from you guys about what this kind of fallout looked like. There was some of it in your article, but I'm curious sort of what your observations were as you were investigating.
Well, first of all, I 100% agree with you. I mean, you have like a very small minority of people in this who prey on the rest of them, and using the kind of stuff that we were talking about earlier, this, you know, distrust, economic uncertainty, to really, you know, defraud them here. And it really, I think it's, you know, it's the tip of the iceberg. Like, even like since we've published this, you know, somebody else wrote to me the other day saying they lost about $350,000.
Oh, wow.
And it's gut-wrenching to hear these stories. I mean, obviously the case of like the gentleman who ended up, you know, committing suicide after losing his business, losing about, what was it, earning 300 grand?
He lost 100 grand and lost his house, apparently.
Mm. You know, you mentioned it being despicable. And when you see that these individuals behind this, I'm sure they've heard about these casualties, people losing their life savings, their retirements, their homes, their lives in this case, and keep at it, you know, like nothing's changing. That's, you know, in my opinion, like the behavior of a sociopath, and that's a despicable part.
Yeah, and just to tag on to that, like, I spoke to a lot of these people, and we were only able to break the story because of people who lost money due to whiplash and QSI's advice. And they, you know, had started to like compile like some sort of evidence to like help, like try and shine a light on this. So it's only because they had the sort of bravery and courage to come forward and try and speak to me and talk about these like very personal losses that they'd all suffered. You know, a few hundred dollars or even a few thousand dollars might not always seem like a lot of money to everybody. But for those people, like, you know, Nick touched on it. Some of these people were like out of work because of the pandemic, or they're, you know, disabled and they can't work. And like this actually represented a real source of hope for them. And these influencers were preying upon that hope. And I find that truly awful.
Okay, perfect timing. My fiance is running a blender. Okay, we're good. I should just leave that in. Anyway, I think even just the fact that folks, you know, talk to you about these losses coming from these communities says a lot, because, you know, these are folks who, if they were caught up in these scams, were also likely hearing messages constantly. You can't trust the media. You can't trust reporters. The only thing you can trust is this Telegram channel. And like, so for them to, you know, kind of break away from that and then go to the thing that they've been told is like a source of evil, I think kind of underscores the, you know, how serious this was and how severe it was, that it was able to kind of break through, you know, whatever mental barriers may have been there.
Yeah, we truly are grateful for that. Because, I mean, even like, you know, possibly several of them hadn't heard of us. And if you Google us or our names, like, you know, and some of these people are QAnon believers. And, you know, the articles that are attached to us are, you know, unmasking some high profile QAnon people. So we are really grateful that, you know, that these people came and talked to us. Because like Ernie said, we wouldn't have been able to break the story without it.
So I want to kind of open this up here. Of course, I think anybody who's listening to this, you need to go read this piece. I'm going to have a link to it down in the description of this episode. But I'm curious, you know, getting away from the facts of the matter here and kind of more of your experience reporting on something like this, because, you know, when you report out a story like this that has, you know, these kind of levels to it, it kind of does have an effect on you to some degree. And I'm curious, you know, as you completed this investigation, sort of what your takeaways were. You know, we already said, of course, you know, not even QAnon followers deserve to get scammed in such a, you know, aggressive way like this. But I'm curious if there were any other takeaways that you may have had from this.
Okay. Yeah. The thing that comes to my mind first is that, like, doing this investigation, like, really makes it clear to me that almost anybody can fall into a hole like this. Like, I don't think, like a lot of my family, for instance, like the first thing that they said was a fool and his money are soon parted. And I don't think that's quite the right takeaway, because like, although it's easy to dunk on people who are really invested in conspiracy theories, like I think any sort of like closed off community can fall prey to that, you know, if people have the right vulnerabilities, if the right charismatic group of people or person comes along and convinces them, you know, not to trust anybody else, only trust the in-group. It can really happen to anybody, and like everybody is vulnerable in this way.
Mm. Nick, did you have any takeaways?
Yeah, I think I'm getting more and more concerned about these giant pools of the influence that some of these QAnon influencers and conspiracy milieu people have. Just because, like, you know, if we just kind of compare it, like, you know, I'm going to come up with another on the spot analogy here, but you know, if like Kim Kardashian has 2 million followers and I'm making designer purses and I go up to Kim, like, what's it going to take for you to, you know, make a post with one of my purses? There could be something going on here in the same way where, you know, Whiplash, who has 200,000 followers plus, he's already talking about cryptocurrencies. He could just be, you know, somebody whose influence could be easily bought. And when you look at the scam, I think our investigation, it really is bigger than just Whiplash and Emily. There are several layers. And when you look at it, you know, some of the domains are connected to, you know, India and Romania. And, you know, who knows exactly what's going on there, but there are different levels here. And that's something I think, you know, we need to be concerned about, and as much as possible, try to educate people so they don't fall for this.
I agree on both points completely. You know, I often, and I did a little bit earlier, I often talk about conspiracy believers as being victims of exploitation. As you were saying, Nick, there's, you know, a whole host of things. It could be economic anxiety, uncertainty about the future, just a certain amount, at least here in the U.S., of like fundamental social disorder that's occurring. You know, erosion of the social contract that we're supposed to all supposedly be a part of. And there's a whole host of people that are willing to come along and exploit that anxiety or fear that it produces. It could be people like Steve Bannon trying to whip you up to go vote for, you know, the most psychotic Republicans he can find. It could be QAnon people trying to send you down this rabbit hole, you know, for their own means and ends there. Do you think that this case, this investigation that you guys did, is an example of that? Or, you know, I'm curious your thoughts on that.
I mean, just like many conspiracy theories that, you know, I know you look at, Jared, like, you know, a lot of them are just rehashed from like old conspiracy theories and then just come back in different forms and just mutate into something else. Like I think it's another case where, you know, certain scams and certain conspiracies blend into one, but on steroids because internet and social media. So I think, you know, that's the only new part that we're seeing here. If you look at, you know, even this investigation, I mean, it's somewhere between like the Klondike meets Nisara, and it's, you know, when they also draw on like stuff like Nisara and this promise of like debt being forgiven to be able to get people to invest so much money. So I think, you know, everything is a combination and sort of a rehash of.
Yeah, and I think stuff. In particular, kind of jumping off what you were saying before as well, a lot of this does have to do with a shift in how information travels now, from like a traditional more centralized way of it passing from the media into the public eye to more of an influencer model of journalism. And one of the things that QAnon and other conspiracy communities have managed to leverage really well is that model of journalism. And it is when you have fewer mechanisms of public accountability that guide your hand, it's a lot easier to fall, you know, if you are one of these influencers, to get tempted by like more cynical motives of profit and exploitation or power even.
Well, I don't believe in QAnon. I don't think most of the listeners of this show anyway believe in QAnon. I'm sure there's some hate listeners out there. Hey, thanks for being here. But for the rest of us, folks who might consider ourselves quote unquote normal, whatever that means, are there any sort of takeaways or cautions from this story that the rest of us should maybe heed? Ernie, you were talking about earlier, you know, the fact that this kind of, you know, scam situation really can occur like anywhere online, anywhere there's a really insular you know, community formed. I'm curious if there's anything beyond that that either of you have thought about.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think, yeah, like I was saying, it's just good to have multiple systems of accountability in multiple different communities to be able to check the health of a community. Because like inside a community, if you don't have like a rigorous culture of being able to like talk to each other with, you know, love and understanding, but with critique, then it's really easy to start just believing things that aren't true or treating other unkindly. And you really need those kinds of multiple systems of accountability. I know that's very big picture stuff, but that's sort of what comes to mind for me.
No, it's important. It's important.
As a takeaway, just to be compassionate, like Ernie said earlier, like it can happen to anybody. You know, if they happen to be, you know, in a vulnerable time of their lives, and it can happen to like a family member. And it's like, you have to remember that like these people who lost money or lost their lives in this, they're, you know, somebody's family, even if they had the misfortune of going down this rabbit hole and believing this.
So I've been talking with Ernie Piper and Nick Bakovic. They're from Logically. Again, go read that investigation. I'll put it down in the description. This is Shitpost, fellas. So I've got one more question for both of you. I'll start with you, Nick. What's your favorite thing on the internet right now?
It's still birds aren't real. You know, I've been saying still, this for years, yeah. But nothing has dethroned it. So,
what about birds aren't real? What speaks to you there?
The whole thing. I think, you know, even as a form of like, you know, satire, it just works so well that like, you know, that just whatever. The one shocking realization I think I've, you know, come to in the past couple of years, almost like anything, the craziest thing that you can think of, there's probably already somebody who put it out there and believes it. So it's, you know, you cease to be surprised at some point.
You're here. Ernie, what's your favorite thing on the internet right now?
It's definitely the rural Chinese villager cooking part of TikTok that I've fallen into.
I'm not sure I'm familiar. Tell me more about that.
Oh my God, you got to get into this. It's like endless videos of young families or grandmas preparing various traditional Chinese dishes. So like it'll show them like harvesting the ingredients and like throwing it in a giant wok. And if you're really lucky, it'll be like a little bit scripted. So there'll be a part where a man goes to the village store to buy his bottle of white spirits and boiled peanuts and like a whole pork head, chats to the village girls, and then goes home on his bike. And like then there's the cooking video portion of it. It's just endlessly entertaining.
This kind of sounds like what I've fallen into lately, which is the Facebook watch page. I am so embarrassed to admit this, but I've been spending time on the Facebook watch section of the app, which if you haven't been there, it's just a, you know, desert of the worst engagement bait you've ever seen. But I still find myself in the evenings, you know, scrolling through, watching some buddy carve a stamp and then make a stamp, and then I go, ooh, that's soothing.
It's, you know, just it's that like tiny hit of dopamine in this otherwise dopamine starved world, Jared.
All right, Nick, Ernie, thanks so much for joining this week. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much, Jared. Dip splash to Gary's tough. Tell your girl don't talk too much. Ring out here, chop, chop. Bank account, chop, chop. Any amount, chop, chop. Credit card, top up. I scam, I scam, I scam, I scam, I scam. Hush puppy just got locked, but we go scam again. They try to take my style, but this is where it ends. You wanna do some fraud? Come on, baby, bring your friends. I know you want some money, come on, baby, don't pretend. Scammers we love and scam we trust. My African girl took tough. Okay. Said you can whip it up, dip splash.